tonight as we hurry through the snow. My husband and I, we were late for a show. And that's when I saw him slowly passing by. As I glanced at his feet, tears filled my eyes. A cold November night that chilled me to the bone. As I watched a man walk by, I knew had no home, no coat on his back, and nothing left to lose. With his feet wrapped and bundled in yesterday's news.
My husband actually wrote that song after an encounter that we had in Boise, Idaho, walking downtown Boise, Idaho, and he wrote a beautiful song from that experience. So thank you, Pete. The next song I'm going to sing for you is kind of about a tough subject, but I moved to Nashville from Idaho, so since the last time I've been here, I moved to Nashville. I'm close to Tiffany. For those of you who know Tiffany, we've only seen each other twice. Because when I'm on the road, she's not, and when she's on the road, I'm not, and so we never get together. But it's been fun to actually have her close. She brought Hawaii to Nashville, which is great. But it's good to be back. Good to be back in this beautiful state with beautiful people. And I don't have much time to spend up here talking, but I'd love to meet you at the CD table in back, and I'll be there after the service. But anyway, I moved to Nashville, and God put on my heart a very, very tough subject to share, and to be a voice, actually, for the unborn. And I really honestly thought this was going to be a, you know, just make my career go nowhere, because no one wants to kind of touch that subject with a 10-foot pole. And but he actually has blessed this song, and it's really big all over the world. We get a lot of emails from people who have been blessed by this song. And so I challenge you to share it. It's actually on YouTube. You can watch it on YouTube and share it with people. But as we come to this Christmas season and Christ's birth, we realize how precious life really is. Leaves were falling on Sunrise Road. I watched her mama button her coat. And then I heard that little girl say, "Can your kid come out and play?" I tried to swallow the lump in my throat. Said we couldn't wait to bring him home. Ain't it funny how you forget? We were gonna call him Chance. Oh, my Chance. He would have had eyes as blue as oceans, my Chance. He would have been an angel from above. I would have sang him lullabies before he went to bed. But I missed my Chance. My room in pastel blues, but they said we were too young to raise a son. Oh, but my Chance, he would have had eyes as blue as oceans, my Chance. He would have been an angel from above. Before he went to bed, but I missed my Chance. They promised we'd never regret it, and to this day, their words still heard. We pray each day that God would understand, but we never got a second chance. Oh, eyes as blue as oceans. He would have been an angel from above. Bed, but I missed
Jamie Teton, would you say thank you again? Boy, what a heart. You can hear her heart just coming out in her songs, and she will, again, be available outside after it's done. A lot of CDs and great specials and packages you can give away as Christmas gifts, so she'll be there to sign autographs. Go ahead and support her ministry. Getting in the Christmas mood? Boy, I'm telling you, can you appreciate this set here? Would you say thank you to our set designers? Put all this together. Beautiful set here. Now, if it would only snow, it'll be perfect, huh? Man, we're just getting in the Christmas mood. We want to just present you with a continuous story of the Christmas message. Pastor Wayne talked about Mary last week and her faithfulness. This week, we'll be talking about Joseph and his commitment. Next week, we'll be talking about King Herod and his perspective of this whole Christmas deal. But let's start off today with just some big band sound. How about that? Would you welcome our worship team as they give us some big band sound?
We want to glorify you this morning, Lord, in everything that we do, not just this morning, but in every day of our lives, Father. We want to glorify you.
Your presence, your glory, your welcome here. All honor and dominion, Lord, please come near.
It's in the book of Philippians that we find these words Paul is speaking, and he says, at the name of Jesus, the name that we glorify, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess on the earth, under the earth, and above the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That was actually taken out of the book of Isaiah chapter 45, where it says, as I swear, says the Lord, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess, and will give praise to God. We see that that name is not just a mantra. It's not some magical word that you, it's like an incantation over something for maybe good luck. No. When you speak the name of Jesus authentically and genuinely, it brings to recognition the fact of his presence. When you say Jesus, all of a sudden you realize he's here. Then it opens up your faith to what he wants to do. You begin to cooperate more. See, God is ready. The question is, are we? God is speaking. The question is not, is he speaking? The question is, are we listening? And when we begin to speak the name of Jesus, something of the recognition of his presence becomes crystal clear again. And we begin to partner towards the miraculous. The Bible talks about a spirit of infirmity. Sometimes people are ill. I don't know why, but if it is a spirit of infirmity, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow on the earth, under the earth, and above the earth. You know what I was thinking? Maybe we need to just speak the name of Jesus a little bit more. Speak the name of Jesus over the church, over our ministries, over one another. Maybe when your kids are sleeping, just go in their bedroom and just say, Jesus, Jesus. And maybe the things that the enemy is pitting against us will begin to break one by one, because we are people who understand the presence of God is that which drives out the darkness, and we give recognition to that, the manifestation of the presence of God. Aren't you glad God gives you that power and that ability? As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. 'Cause your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to say but your name. Let's sing together the name of Jesus. Sing Jesus in your name.
Jesus in your name we pray.
Come and fill,
our hearts today. Lord, give us strength to live for you.
Lord, we will live for you.
Your name
is so kind as to reach out and take a hold of the person's hand on either side of you. Lord, with boldness, we speak the name of Jesus. Would you just whisper his name? Go ahead. We speak your name over the one over our left and the one on our right. Lord, for healing and wholeness, for forgiveness and strength. We just speak your name, Lord Jesus, over this church and the ministries that extend from this place. Lord, we know that you are God. We don't understand how you do what you do, but we know that you're the God of the miraculous. And boy, we need some miracles in our lives. We know we can't do it on our own. We need you to guide us, to strengthen us. And so we call on the name of Jesus. We speak your name out loud. So, Lord, we ask now that you would move in and through us, and especially in this Christmas season, just like you did with Mary, would you reveal your Son through us to a needy world in as many ways as you can. Thank you, Father, for your presence. Lord Jesus, we welcome you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, would you say welcome to a couple of people? Give them a handshake and a hug and say welcome to New Hope. Go ahead, turn around, find someone that you've not met, and just go ahead and welcome them. Initiate welcome.
Here in January and do this outreach, and 700 people got saved, and just this big transformation that is happening here in this prison. Seeing these guys get baptized today, it was like a true repentance. When guys went out to the water, when they came up, you could just see the Spirit of God just descending on them and saying, "This is my sons who I'm well pleased in." It was just a beautiful, beautiful thing to see guys come out and just confess their sins and ask God for forgiveness for all the mistakes that they made to themselves and to their families. It was just an awesome thing to be a part of that, to witness that, seeing guys really give their life to the Lord.
To me, it's a miracle. There's no other word for it, nothing short of a miracle, that these guys are allowed this opportunity in this way, with praise and worship and the group baptism. It could only happen with God's help, and New Hope is the only place I've ever seen it happen.
They just ignited a fire in my heart that where I want to go out and just reach out to everybody.
One of the coolest partnerships that can ever happen in a community today is when the church and the state come together and they provide an opportunity for research, not only research, but transformation to happen within communities. That's happening right now in Saguaro Prison in Arizona. A literal and a physical and a spiritual transformation taking place in the lives of these inmates. The warden of that facility is so impressed and touched by what's been happening and your support, New Hope, of the ministries that's been going up there to transform these lives, that he wanted to be here physically. He flew down here to say thank you to all of you. Would you welcome Warden Thomas as he comes out? Warden. Now, this is not June Jones, although sometimes he looks like him. Hey, Warden, thank you so much just for your heart and all that you're doing up there every single day for these inmates. I know you wanted to share a few words with New Hope. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was kind of earth-shattering to walk up in front of 2,000 people. I'm normally not nervous, but I got to say I'm nervous just a little bit. And I did get a haircut and shave so I wouldn't get stopped at the airport. When I came to Hawaii 2 years ago, that's about the time June was leaving, and people were grabbing my luggage and making me nervous. I said, "I'm getting robbed at the airport." But I did meet Pastor Roy, Pastor Elwin, 2 years ago when they asked to come to Saguaro, and I said, "Okay, come on," and didn't think much of it. Started getting emails and phone calls from Julie Peralta, and if I could, the other volunteers that went with you, is anybody here they could stand up, please? Any other volunteers that came to Arizona? But I real quick found out that Roy does not take no for an answer, nor does Julie or anybody else. They came in, you saw the baptism. I inspected, we were going to do just general population. Halfway through the day, Roy said, what about segregation? I said, well, never done that before, but why not? So they went down to SEG, they got the guys out of SEG, got the guys out of SHIP. And what's happened in the last 2 years is that prison, and I don't want to jinx myself, has become a very quiet place to do time. Doing time's not easy. It's still a prison, but it's affected the staff, it's affected the inmates, it's affected us, and it's a good place to work. If you've got to work in a prison, I want to be at Saguaro. And I've been in Georgia, Louisiana, D.C., Tennessee, and many other places. But I did come. We're here for some business, but I did not want to come to Hawaii without coming in and saying thanks to you all for supporting Roy, his group, what he's doing. Pastor Elwin said, keep it short. I could talk all day. But we have had a 60% reduction of negative incidents inside the prison. And we've done nothing to change it. Same people, same staff, still in Arizona. But what we have done is committed to letting people like Roy, the volunteers that come in, us getting out of the way and letting good things happen. We're searching to try to give something. We gave a plaque. We give letters. We give thanks. My assistant said, you know, give him a Bible. That makes too much sense. And with that, I do want to present this to Roy. I also want to present it on behalf of Saguaro to New Hope. And you people are welcome anytime that you want to come to Arizona. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Warden Thomas, for all your great work.
Christmas, New Hope, and welcome to this week's edition of New Hope in Action. You know, I just love this time of year when we can just bundle up and drink some hot cocoa and, you know, just watch the snow fall down outside. Not quite, but it's definitely the season of giving. Here's a glimpse of how you're making an impact this season.
New Hope has been one of the foremost churches to participate in Angel Tree in the last dozen years or so, where we help to ensure that majority of the children on Oahu and other islands do receive gifts at Christmas on behalf of their incarcerated loved one.
Always remember that Daddy loves you and I'm coming home soon to be with you. I just want to say thank you, New Hope, for everything that you've done for my family this year.
Thank you, New Hope.
Thank you, New Hope, for all this.
As a representative of Angel Tree, I'd like to thank the New Hope Ohana for being so generous, gracious, and supportive of the ministry. I'm just so grateful for the church's participation and belief in what we do.
The Fuse Young Adult Ministry, along with Triple S, a Christian fellowship group, is throwing a Christmas party for the homeless at A'ala Park. Here's Ruth Atkins, one of the Fuse leaders, to show you more info on how you can help.
Ruth here from Fuse, the Young Adults Ministry, and I want to let you guys know about an upcoming event. Saturday, December 19th, Fuse is partnering with a ministry called Triple S. Every Saturday, Triple S comes down here, rain or shine, to Chinatown and feeds the homeless. Now, we thought for Christmas, in addition to just feeding them, we could throw them a big party. We're going to have a full Christmas dinner, live entertainment, raffles, giveaways, and gifts for everyone. But to do this, we need your help. We need food donations, chicken fried rice, lau lau, cookies. As long as it's pre-packaged or restaurant prepared, we'll take it. And we also need toiletries, toothbrushes, toothpaste, chapstick, Band-Aids, Neosporin. A little goes a long way, guys, but a lot goes a lot further. So contact me at our website, FuseHawaii.com. We hope that you'll partner with us this Christmas as we celebrate and love on our community.
Last but not least, if you haven't heard already, we've got our annual Doing Church as a Team conference coming this February. Here's Pastor Elwin to give us a taste of what he's got in store for DCAT.
Boy, I just love malasadas. Come out steaming, piping hot. I mean, just take a look at this. All that sugar dusted over the top. You can just smell it. The thing about malasadas is it can be just like who we are. We can all look the same on the outsides, but when we tear ourselves apart and take a look at what's on the inside, oh, look at that steam, just so hot. Sometimes there's nothing there. Others, however, are filled with this nice, beautiful, glistening haupia mix. And this is my favorite. You know, at this year's DCAT, I'll be teaching a class on how do we develop our insides as people. Because it's what's on the inside that matters the most.
Oh, that's so good. To register for DCAT or for more information on these stories, visit www.enewhope.org. That's it for this week. Stay warm. I mean, cool.
Say thank you to Larry G for that New Hope in Action, huh? And the malasadas were good. I forced him to do 6 takes on that one because I wanted to eat like 6 different malasadas. Hey, welcome everyone. We're so glad that you're here. Doing church as a team conference, our DCAT conference, is the premier conference for New Hope, and you need to be at that conference. That's why we're having registration so in advance, because we know that we get caught up with Christmas and we don't think about February and 2010, but it's going to come up really fast. So we're asking you to go ahead and sign up ahead of time. Registration table is available outside there. Also, our Christmas Eve services have changed. So now we've presented it, we published it in the magazine, but we've changed the times. Take a look in your bulletin. There's a half-sheet flyer in there. There's been such a demand for the Thursday night on the 24th that we actually added another service to the 24th. We've canceled the Tuesday night. So we'll have 2 services on Wednesday, the 23rd, which is at 6 and 8. Then we'll have 2 services again on Thursday the 24th at 5 and 7. So please make those notes and corrections in your calendars, okay? We have a fuse outside with a fundraiser. They're raising funds for their ministry to Japan. We have a lot of great things going on out there. Jamie Teton is going to be back and will sing another beautiful song for us. But she's in such a giving mood. She left here 5 CDs that I want to just leave right here. And why don't you come on? Come here, Randy. Be a giver today. Go ahead. Just give that away to people. No, not your wife, right? Give it away to 5 needy people, and we'll get that taken care of. But let's just be in a giving mood right now, all right? But we have so much going on here. We want you to catch up and just be a part of our Christmas celebration. Pastor Wayne will be out talking about Joseph's commitment. Hey, what's the greatest commitment of all? When the Lord gave us his son, didn't he? In the form of a babe wrapped in a manger. So let's pray to our Lord Jesus Christ as we give back our blessings to him. Father, thank you, Lord, so much for what we have and experience in life. And so many times, Lord, we overlook the blessings that are ours, don't we? Times that we have, because of our own selfishness, have looked at our own desires, our own agendas, when you, in fact, gave us the greatest gift of all. We are eternally grateful to you. And so we give now, we give back with grateful and thankful hearts. We pray that you bless these gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead, ushers. To honor him.
Must have been surprised at where this road had taken him. 'Cause never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem. But standing at the manger, he saw with his own message from the angel come to life. And Joseph thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him? He's just an ordinary road. Why inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Well, I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say. This is such a strange way to say.
Speaking today about the faith of Joseph. So if you would take out your notes with me and the struggle that he must have had. Joseph, really someone that no one recognized. No one ever thought God would want to use him, but he did. If you take a look at even what we have here at New Hope, whether it be the musicians or singers or multimedia people, I was looking at that and I thought, what a fun church. And all it is allowing people to use their gifts, and you put them all together, big, medium, size, small. When they go together, it's a fantastic collage of the work of God and the handiwork of creation in all of these people using their gifts. And Joseph was one who may not have been some recognized celebrity, but God chose him. We're going to talk about the faith of Joseph that didn't come easily, but it came. I don't know if you've seen the musical here at New Hope yet, but it's called It's a Wonderful Life, where they celebrate the life of an ordinary person. His name is George Bailey, an ordinary guy, but his life starts to fall apart. His finances go south, everything goes bad, and even some of his opposing friends, called enemies, come at him to tear him down even more, and he's in such anguish and despair that he's thinking about even taking his own life, until an angel appears to him and begins to show him the impact that he is make and has made on people. An unrecognized person. You see, George Bailey is a face in the crowd. He's kind of a second, an extra. One of the things that we have to realize here in America is that we don't recognize invisible people. We love celebrities. We love stars, don't we? When a star does something, the world knows. Like Paris Hilton goes to Mexico, they make it into a TV series, and someone makes $1 million. I go to Mexico. It's called a mission trip. We love stars. And there's famous people in Scripture, too. People in the middle of the action like David and Moses. And Peter and Paul and Mary. They're so famous they made a group by that name. But they're not necessarily people like us. I mean, teachers, business people, students. For most of us, there's no Red Sea parting. We don't walk on water. And Joseph is someone I like because he's sort of like the George Bailey of Scripture. See, the only reason we know Joseph is because even in his lineage, he's introduced as Joseph, the husband of Mary. He's an extra, face in the background, supporting cast. But I want you to see in your notes and write in there, there might be invisible Christians, but there are never unimportant ones. There might be invisible Christians, but there are never any unimportant ones. Now, I want to introduce you to the Christmas story. I'm going to read a portion of it, but let me give you some context. Joseph is engaged to a woman named Mary, and then he discovers the terrible news that this girl that he is to marry is pregnant, and he knows it's not his. Now, here's what happens. They go through a Jewish ritual where they have a formal engagement. Everybody claps and everybody knows that these two are betrothed. That's the name. That's the nomenclature. They're betrothed, which means there's a faithfulness. We're going this way. We're committed. And just some time will pass before the wedding ceremony, but they're betrothed. They're promised to one another. That's it. In the midst of that betrothal, he hears the terrible news that this woman that he's already committed to in public is pregnant by somebody that it ain't him. Now, do you understand the anguish that he goes through? He's already committed to this woman. What should he do? You see, because one of the things about Jewish people is that their lineage is extremely important. It's their identity. It's their lineage. Son of this one. And if someone in his lineage is there that he did not bear the anguish of years forever in that lineage would be like a blot. So he wrestles with this and wrestles and he thinks, well, what should I do? And he thinks the best thing to do is just get rid of her. Just, I mean, don't disgrace her publicly because he was a righteous man, but I gotta get rid of her. I've gotta separate myself from this woman and do it as quietly as I can. And sure, the rumors are going to abound, but this is just what I got to do. Now, he's struggling with this in anguish. Now, I'm going to read a portion of the scripture, and then you're going to come in with your part, which is at the top of your notes. But you're going to see right at the beginning, it will say, after he had considered this. Now, whenever you come across phrases like that in the scripture, stop. Because that's what I call a momentous moment, where in four or five words, the depth of anguish is unspeakable. But yet they can't explain it. But yet, the amount, just a short amount of those words, you'll never understand the depth of struggle that comes with those four words. It's a momentous moment. And it could have been 2 days, 3 days, 2 weeks, we don't know. But after he wrestled with the doubts, the struggles, the temptations, the anger, the anguish, after he had considered this, God knew he better send an angel to resolve this. And he did. Let me read to you this scripture portion of the Christmas story when the angel is sent. Now, often, listen, God doesn't send angels that often. He does that on very special occasion. And there's an angel that has to come and resolve this. You can be a very important person here, but you probably won't see an angel. I mean, even someone like Elwanahu, as important as he is, he's never seen an angel. The only angel he's probably ever seen is me. But we better read the Christmas story. All right, all right, all right, all right. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband to be, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. And would you read with me? Go. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people. Now all of this took place, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did exactly as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. You see, Joseph struggled with this. Some people say, Wayne, are you a man of faith? I am, but it did not come easily. And Joseph wrestled and gave birth to his faith. If you're a young person, you're a college person or a high school person, there's going to come a day where you're going to struggle to make your faith your own. It's not your mom's faith anymore. It's not going to be your dad's faith, not your uncle's or your grandfather's. It'll have to become your faith. And that birthing process will require some struggle. You'll start to ask questions, hard questions. Why this and why that? It may be a setback. It may be an illness, and you're going to ask questions. And Joseph was in a struggle. It was a harsh struggle, but he won. He won. That's the good news. He got up from the dream, and he did exactly as the Lord had asked him to. However, his struggles are not yet over. Just because you come to faith does not mean everything will be peaches and cream. You will still struggle. Because the next time we hear about Joseph, we see him at his ancestral town where his wife is ready to give birth. And his ancestral town is Bethlehem. He had to go there because of a census that the Roman government mandated. And when you go to register for the census, how many people are in each town, the demographics, etc., you've got to go back to your ancestral towns where your relatives are from. Now, I want you to notice this. When he went to his ancestral town with relatives, you'll notice he still had no place for his wife to give birth to their firstborn child. There was no room. You say, well, wait a minute. That's where his relatives live. But yet his relatives would not even allow him because of a stigma that was ongoing with Joseph. So Joseph then has to find a barn, a place with a dirt floor. He's still wrestling and he's still struggling, but he's going to be a man of faith and he's going to win. And that's what we want to talk about today. You're going to wrestle with your doubts, but you must win. Now, you know what makes the battles even tougher when you're wrestling on the inside with temptations, lust, anger, angst? You know what makes it even tougher? Here's two of the most common questions people always ask me. They say, hey, Wayne, number one, how do you hear God? And number two, how do you know it's His voice talking? You see, what makes the battle even tougher is when you're trying to find direction in your marriage, in your future, in your life, in relationships. You wonder sometimes, is this God's voice that's talking? Because you don't know if it's God's voice or your voice. the Holy Spirit or your desire? The devil or the Holy Spirit? You don't know. And that makes it even tougher. And so you're wrestling with this in anguish on the inside. I wish sometimes God would just handwrite something on the wall. Wouldn't it be nice? Do this. I wish sometimes God would give us a Jiminy Cricket. Remember Pinocchio? Jiminy Cricket is his conscience, and his conscience guides him. And he says, this is what you do, this is what you do. But on the inside, there are still voices struggling. Still you, but on one side, you feel excused. On the other side, you feel accountable. On one side, you feel freed up. The other side, you feel dutiful. I've got to do this. Which one is right? Paul the Apostle struggled with that too. Let's take a look at what it says here in Romans 7. Would you read it out loud with me? Go. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war. There's two sides of us in our conscience. Will it guide us? Is our conscience enough? You see, we're going to find that God is going to use three things to be a GPS system in your life. And it's this. He's going to use your conscience. He's going to use your faith. And he's going to use the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's a combination of all those three, not just your conscience. It's going to be your conscience, your faith, and the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about all three of those. But first, let's take a look at how sometimes just conscience alone may not be that which is enough. It can confuse you if you're not careful. Let's take a look at this clip.
Not bad, says I. Oh, yeah. Almost forgot about you. Well, Pinocchio, maybe you and I had better have a little heart-to-heart talk.
Why?
Well, you want to be a real boy, don't you?
Uh-huh.
All right. Sit down, son. Now, you see, the world is full of temptations.
Temptations?
Yep, temptations. They're the wrong things that seem right at the time. But even though the right things may seem wrong sometimes, sometimes the wrong things may be right at the wrong time, or vice versa. Understand?
Uh-uh. But I'm going to do right.
Attaboy, Pinocchio, and I'm going to help you.
I don't know about this. Let's get out of this store.
Oh, boy. But I can't think. I got this DVD from the cashier, but she didn't even charge me for it.
Oh, well, let's just consider it a blessing from God.
He takes care of those who do good.
And I'm good.
Oh, it's just not right, because I should pay for this. That cashier lady could get in big trouble. Oh.
Who cares? It's her fault anyway. She's the one made the mistake by not charging you. Besides, it's only one small DVD. Well, who's going to find out? Just keep it in your bag. Let's go.
But that's stealing, isn't it?
Stealing? No, that's the borrowing like that. Yeah, but I was just thinking about, we can give it away, yeah, as one present.
Oh, a present? I don't know about this. Oh, my heart hurts when we think this way. Hey, is that what the Bible calls my conscience?
Conscience? Weak. No, it's called good sense. Now, come on, let's go.
Oh, you know, I heard this smart-sounding pastor from New Hope talk about being honest and living to please God.
Oh, you mean that pocket Chinese guy? Pastor Aku?
No, he was a funny, good-looking pastor.
All those guys are funny. They are funny looking, and they don't know what they're talking about. Bah! Humbug!
Oh, but, you know, this may be God's way of testing me to see if I could be honest.
Nah. There's nothing wrong with that. Just one small DVD. You making one big deal about this. Let's go.
Oh, I don't know about this. You're confusing me.
Come on. I'm going to pop some popcorn so we can watch my DVD. Come on.
Hey. I thought you wanted us to give it away.
Yeah, to me, your best friend. I always give you good advice.
Oh, help God.
Poppity popcorn, poppity popcorn.
You ever have those struggles? Conscience. But God's going to use more than just conscience. He's going to use three things. Remember, conscience, your faith, and the voice of the Holy Spirit. That the combination of those three gives you a divine GPS system, because God wants us to make good decisions. He doesn't take joy in sitting back and watching us fail and stumble. He's there like a parent in a big tennis match, just cheering on their son or daughter. You watch the cameras shoot up towards where the parents of these tennis players are, and they're just as excited as their son or daughter playing on the court. God is like that, saying, you can do it. So in order to do that, he gives us a GPS system, as it were, and he is a combination of three things: your conscience, your faith, and the voice of the Holy Spirit. Those three things have to be combined in order to have a good working GPS system. Because you see, your conscience alone is what? Well, you develop your conscience. As you grow up, your parents will tell you, this is right, that's wrong. That's wrong, this is right. Then you go to school and your friends will say, hey, this is cool, that's not cool. Hey, this is really cool, that's not cool. Hey, don't do that, but hey, you can do this. And as you grow up, you develop a conscience of what you think is right and wrong. But it's not always necessarily the right conscience, because you can have someone speeding down the road at 80 miles an hour and it doesn't bother their conscience at all, whereas someone else, it would bother them terribly. So what is your conscience? Would you write down a number one? Your conscience is a body of knowledge that either justifies you or judges you. It'll excuse you or it'll hold you accountable. But it depends on what that body of knowledge is. Because you can have grown up with some parents that'll say, where one would say that's wrong, another set of parents would say, that's cool, that's all right, everybody's doing it, do that. So you grow up with a tilted conscience, something that's not going to give you the right answers in the eyes of God. So it's going to be pushing you one way or the other. Let's read Romans 2:15. Go. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they are doing. You can have a terrorist, and for him, it doesn't bother him at all. It doesn't bother his conscience. Why? Because it was formulated in a way that gave him a skewed body of knowledge by which he is gauging his actions. So you say, well, how do you develop a healthy conscience, an accurate conscience? Because if you don't have an accurate conscience, you're going to have inaccurate decisions. Well, this point is very, very important, because it goes to the second element that God uses to develop your GPS system. And would you write down, your conscience will mature as your faith grows. Your conscience will mature as your what?
Faith.
Yeah, that's the second element that God uses, your faith, based on the Word of God. See, the healthiest thing you can do right now to build a healthy and clear conscience is to know the Word of God with all your heart. so that when your conscience is going a little funny, your faith steps in and corrects it. It constantly recalibrates your conscience and monitors it. But if you remove your faith, you'll get squirrely. On the other hand, you can get a squirrely and weird faith. Something that is a misinterpretation of God's word. Like a terrorist thinking, well, this is what God wants us to do. And you can actually ruin your conscience even further. In fact, even Jesus said this in Mark chapter 12 to the Pharisees. He said, you err because you know not the scriptures. You err because you don't have an accurate faith as a second element with your conscience. So when someone says, let your conscience guide you, it's true but incomplete. The second element, the first is conscience, the second is what? Your faith. And when you have a good heart and a clear conscience and a sincere faith, now you start making much better decisions. In fact, let's read what Paul says in 1 Timothy. Go. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a... For some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussion. When you don't have an accurate faith working with a clear conscience, you turn aside to fruitless discussion and weird conclusions. Even if you know some of the Bible, but if you misinterpret it and you've got a wrong perspective of the Bible, you can have some pretty weird conclusions, as you're about to see in this video. Let's take a look.
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
My name's Mark. What's your name?
Oh, I'm Sarah. Nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you. Do you love kids?
I never really thought about
that. Okay, because I love kids. I mean, I want to have tons of them. I mean, the first one, naturally, I'd name Adam. And then if they're boys, you know, like Cain and then Abel. Well, maybe not. You know, Cain wasn't that great, but whatever.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Yeah. I'm Sarah.
Nice to meet you, Sarah. Well, you know what the Bible says about it. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Well, I need my eyes to drive, so I just wear this when I know there's going to be women around.
How beautiful you are, my darling. Your eyes behind your veil and doves, your eyes like a flock of goats descending from Mount Gilead.
Hi, I'm Bruce. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Father God, tell me if this is the girl that I'm going to marry. Please make it clear right now if I'm going to marry this girl.
And then some of the girls I'd like to name, like Eve and Ada and Zella. And, you know, I'd want to stay away from, like, Jezebel or Bathsheba. I don't think they're very good.
Well, you know, I'm no King David. I mean, look what happened to him when he looked at a woman.
I was also thinking, like, Oklahoma. I know it's not biblical, but I think it'd be a really cool name to name a daughter, you know, like Oklahoma, the musical. It's one of my favorite musicals ever.
Your lips are like a scarlet ribbon.
Nice to meet you.
Did you hear that? I'm gonna go call Mom and Dad.
This is torture. Want to skip this and go get a cup of coffee?
Yes.
Woohoo! I feel the spirit. Look at that hunk on the third row. The Lord is my shepherd, and I know what I want. Praise the Lord!
Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, no. I don't think my husband would like me thinking about that hunk in the third row. Hello?
Well, then again, I remember reading in the Bible somewhere, if you can't be with the one you love, just love the one you're with. Love the one you're with.
by Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Oh, those four guys who wrote the Gospels, aren't they? Oh, no, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You dummy. Don't call me a dummy. After all, God expects me to be happy, and I ain't happy with that old big belly at home. He's such a big bore. Oh, wait, wait, wait. I can't think that way. Can't forget my vows. Can't forget my vows. For better or for worse. For better
yeah,
or for worse. For
yeah,
better or
for... I got Mr. Worse. Who'd you get?
The same one.
Well, isn't it time we leave that old bag and trade him in for a new model? A younger one, like that guy on the third row.
Oh, we're not getting any younger. Oh.
Well, you speak for yourself.
I am.
That's it. You confuse me too much. Let's go out with the girls tonight.
No, not those girls. They smoke that wacky tobacco thing. You know, Pacalolo.
Woo-hoo, praise the Lord. You know what the Bible says? God made every herb of the field. If he didn't want us to use it, he wouldn't have created it. That Pacalolo.
Oh, help! I think I'm going crazy. I'm losing my mind.
Praise the Lord, girls. Here we come. Light that doobie.
If we're not careful, our conscience alone can basically rationalize anything. And so we have to mix our conscience with an accurate faith. Faith. You say, but Wayne, you know, my faith is still growing. My conscience needs to be calibrated. I know it does, but my faith is still growing. Is there any hope? Until it gets mature, am I doomed to making dumb decisions that will affect my future? Is that what I'm doomed to? No. No, you see, when Joseph struggled after he had considered all of these options, God knew that he had to come in and help him. And so he sent an angel. Now, God does not want to leave us as orphans. And here's what he did. He sends us not just an angel. Let's write here in number 2. Not an angel, but here it is. The Holy Spirit will be your guide in the midst of your journey. The Holy Spirit. See, sometimes we read the Bible and we think, man, God sent all of these angels to these people. How come not to us? And we go around looking for angelic visitations and appearances. But do you remember when Jesus ascended into heaven, he said to his disciples, as I ascend, I will send you the Holy Spirit. Not who will just appear once in a while, but he will be with you forever. See, here's the neat promise of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is that we don't have to wait for an angelic visitation. The Holy Spirit says, I will do that and I will speak to you every day. That as we develop a healthy conscience, you add to that the element of an accurate faith and the Holy Spirit's voice begins to guide you. Let's read what it says in John 16. Go. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will. The Holy Spirit will guide you. That's his assignment, to help you to make the right decisions. Recently, I went up to Sitka, Alaska, and went fishing. And for 3 days, we fished for salmon and halibut, and we limited out. And you'll see pictures of me with this huge salmon. I'm just smiling. But the reality is, I'm a terrible fisherman. I don't even know how to bait a hook. I don't know what depth to put the line at. I don't know where to put that thing down. I don't know how long to stay there. But we caught tons of salmon. Guess why? Because when I went fishing, I went fishing with a guide. He knows how to fish. And he helped me and basically gave me what credit should belong to him and what benefits should belong to him. He transferred it to me. And the Holy Spirit is a guide because he knows we are not that good at decision makers. We ain't that good at fishing. But the Father said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and he will guide you into all truth. How many of you are glad of the guide that we've received? And that's the one he's going to give to us. And so you don't have to wait for an angelic visitation. Here's a tip for you. If you're a businessman, if you're a mother, you're a dad, you're a student, make the Holy Spirit your best friend. Develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit of God so that you'll hear his voice. If you're a businessman, best thing you can do is make the Holy Spirit your partner. Let him speak to you, guide you, guide you, guide you. If you're a student, make the Holy Spirit your advisor. If you're dating, make the Holy Spirit your counselor. If you're still a novice in the things of life, make the Holy Spirit your mentor. And he who was assigned that role will guide you into all truth. He will help you. He'll teach you how to take the good stuff from the bad stuff. He'll tell you what hills to die on and what hills not to die on. He'll comfort you when you're afflicted, and he just may afflict you when you get too comfortable. Because see, the Holy Spirit's your guide. He's not your placator. He's not just your affirmer. He's your guide. So there's times when you're afflicted, he will comfort you, but when you're starting to get too comfortable, he'll start to afflict you. And I'm so glad that he does. It was about 5 years ago that I thought, I better leverage my retirement fund. So I thought, you know what I'm going to do? An opportunity came up, I think it was in Arizona, where there's a mall that was up for sale, and I was going to move my retirement fund there, into that mall, and then work the mall so it'll leverage my retirement fund, it'll increase. And everything seemed to be fine. Everything was going through, and I was moving that way to just invest in that, when I just started to feel afflicted. I mean, day after day, and the closer I got to finalizing that deal, it came to a point where I almost started to get physically ill. I couldn't sleep. I was struggling with this after considering this other thing. Now, it wasn't that it was wrong. It wasn't shadowy in any way. There was nothing shady about it. But it was just, for some reason, it was just afflicting me. And one night when I was praying, it was as if the Holy Spirit showed up like an angel, but he just showed up and he spoke to my heart and he said, if you did that, it would take the emphasis and your energy away from what I've called you to be and to do. To be in ministry and to train young leaders to do the same. That's the call of your life. And if you did this, nothing wrong with it, but your energies will go that way, your investment will go that way, your attention will go that way. You'll be flying over there making sure that you're doing things right, leveraging off of it, increasing it a little bit more. And what I've called you to do, you will lose energy for. Because in the end, you will not be held accountable for what you do. You'll be accountable to God for how much of what he's assigned to you that you do. And then I began to understand, God's asked me to do this within this framework. And when I was moving out of it in any way, the guide into all truth afflicted me until I came back to obedience to Christ. You understand? The Holy Spirit will guide you. And God will use three elements. The first thing he'll use to give you a GPS on life is your conscience. And that must be mixed with an accurate. And then learn to hear the voice of the, because when you do, you'll start to make decisions that will give you the right trajectory. And then the result will be this. Would you read Jeremiah 15:19? Go. If you return, then I will restore you. Before me you will stand. And if you'll extract the precious from the worthless, you will become my spokesman. So that you'll know that it's not conscience alone, but it's an accurate, not an inaccurate, an accurate faith. You mix that together, and then you make friends with the Holy Spirit. Those three things. Watch how God gives you a divine GPS, and you'll begin to make decisions that delight him and bring his best for you to pass day by day. Are you glad for that, how the Holy Spirit will guide you? What?
Yeah. You know why us Portuguese, you know what our conscience look like?
No, tell me.
Because we know more. Yeah, I don't think these people get the message.
Oh. Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, of course they got it. These people are brilliant. Yeah, especially that one in the third row. Hello. Oh, forget that guy in the third row. I like this good-looking Pastor Wayne.
Yeah, this conscience stuff is messed up. I don't care about this. I'm getting out of here.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Oh, this still bothers me. Help! Pastor Wayne, Pastor Wayne.
Yeah, yeah.
We sure have a lot of work to do,
yeah,
don't
we?
We
sure do. Hey, would you say thank you to Rod Shimabukuro and Dane Ison. Let's stand. Now, you know, when your conscience bothers you, it's Rod and Dane. Would you bow your heads with us as we close? As we're closing, some of you are here today and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I'm in a struggle right now. A struggle between God's ways or my own. In fact, you're here after a struggle. And you know that God is speaking to you about certain things and you're pulling the other way. Let me speak first of all to those of you that have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For years, you've been in a wrestling match with Him. But you must win. And each time you say yes to God's way, you win. Every time you pull the other way against God, you begin to lose. Your conscience gets dull. Your faith diminishes. And you begin to get deaf towards the voice of the Holy Spirit. But every time you win by saying yes to God, it increases your conscience. That GPS system gets healthier and your faith grows. And the Holy Spirit is delighted. If you're here today and you say, Wayne, I need to win. I need to win and let Jesus take over. And that decision alone will be the most eternal decision that you'll ever make. And God waits for momentous moments just like this, where His children will say yes and win. And that's when forgiveness begins and the Holy Spirit is assigned to you to begin to guide you as you learn to walk with the Lord, being guided by the Spirit of God. But it comes right down to a decision just like this. If you're here today and you say, Wayne, God knows I need a second chance and He knows I need forgiveness and a new beginning. I want to open my heart to Jesus Christ. And if that's you, I want to invite you to do that. By simply the raise of a hand, you're saying yes to Jesus Christ. So if that's you and you just want to say, yes, Lord, I need to receive You as my Lord and Savior and win. If that's you, I want you right now to raise a hand and say, yep, that's me. Okay? Yep, yep, you too. All right, you too. Yep, brother. Over here. Yeah. The Lord sees those hands. You too, honey. Yeah. The Lord sees that. Yeah. Okay, you too. Yeah. Jesus sees that hand. You can put your hands down. If this is the first time you've received Christ, outside there will be ushers with yes packets. In it is a Bible and some follow-up material that'll be so helpful in your first few steps with Christ. So please get one. It's free of charge. Just grab one. If you're here and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I'm a Christian, but I tell you, I struggle a lot and I think I lose. I pull the other way. I excuse myself when I shouldn't have. I really do want God to mix those three elements together to give me a healthy, clear conscience because of a mixture of an accurate faith. And I've been able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Lord, would You give me strength to develop that kind of GPS system so that I'll make wiser decisions rather than unwise decisions? God, would You help me? And if that's you, would you raise a hand and say, yep, that's me. Yeah, I've got some decisions to make. And I want to do it right. I want to do it right. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer after me, and especially those of you that have received Christ for the first time. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and you died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Change me. Make me the person you created me to be. I turn from my sins. I turn to you. I want to walk with you. I receive you as my Lord, as my Savior. And now I say this so everyone can hear, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. And Lord, that's a cry of our heart. Thank you so much for the many who raised their hands and said yes to receive you as Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll begin to guide them in a fresh way. Open their ears to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Be our friend. Guide us into all that you've created us to be. We love you. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, welcome these who made that decision to follow Christ.
Is your name.
You have a great day. Give somebody a hug, would you, on your way out? Would you do that?